Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. State capital budget for the next year is caught in a dispute over the size of permanent fund dividends. It also affects programs to pay for college grants and scholarships and to equalize power costs across the state. The capital budget depends on at least six Republicans who aren't in the House majority supporting the budget. That's because it would draw $162 million from the Constitutional Budget Reserve. And drawing from that piggy bank requires support from three-quarters of the members of both chambers. It doesn't look like those votes will be there without dividends of roughly $3,000. House Minority Leader Lance Pruitt, an Anchorage Republican, says his caucus supports amending the capital budget to pay full dividends under a 1982 state law. If that amendment isn't successful, Pruitt anticipates there won't be enough votes to draw from the Constitutional Budget Reserve.
If the amendment for the dividend did not pass, then there would not be enough votes to have the CBR pass, the CBR language pass.
The capital budget debate could begin as soon as tomorrow. The budget would fund the reopening of Palmer Correctional Center and provide funding for new drug treatment facilities. North Pole Representative Tammy Wilson says $10 million would go to grants to expand drug treatment throughout the state. Wilson is a Republican who's in the House Majority Caucus.
We know that there pretty much is not a part of the state that's not affected by not having enough treatment beds.
The House Finance Committee advanced the budget today on an 8-3 vote. If the entire House falls short of the 30 votes needed to draw from the Constitutional Budget Reserve, there would be no money in the budget for power cost equalization for residents in areas with high energy bills. And there would be no money for both Alaska Performance Scholarships and needs-based Alaska Education Grants. Both programs pay for Alaska students to attend post-secondary education. Capital budget also would include more than $1 billion in federal funding, but the state must spend some of its own money to receive the federal dollars. Huna is planning a multi-million dollar pedestrian project to ease congestion from hundreds of thousands of cruise ship visitors. The Southeast community is expected to receive around 267,000 passengers off cruise ships this season. Huna City Manager Dennis Gray Jr. says there's often too little space for people to walk in the town of 800 people.
It can be pretty overwhelming. The harbor definitely is got people all over the roads. There's no sidewalk for them to be on, and so they end up in the middle of the road, and things get pretty tight down there for sure.
Huna's Icy Strait Point is building a second cruise dock in anticipation of more than 400,000 visitors next year. State transportation officials have been working with the city to design a pedestrian seawalk. A formal agreement is expected to be signed this week to approve the funding package. The city is putting up $430,000, with federal transportation dollars making up the rest of the $4.7 million project. The pedestrian walkway will also extend a walkway to the community's cemetery on Pitt Island. Gray says that'll allow community members to walk to funerals and gravesites.
Our primary cemetery is at Pitt Island, and so getting access to it is only by a skiff and makes things difficult.
Officials hope to break ground on the harbor sidewalk this summer. The portion running over an existing causeway to Pitt Island would be built next year. The entire walkway will extend nearly a mile. The Interior Department did not permit a company to conduct seismic survey in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge last winter out of concern the heavy machinery could disturb polar bears. Now a different company wants to conduct an aerial geophysical survey of the refuge, and the Interior Department says that doesn't require any permit. Steve Wachowski is Senior Advisor to the Interior Secretary for Alaska Affairs.
We initially reviewed all our regs, all our authorities, and it's pretty clear in our seismic regs that aerial activities that do not have a ground presence on federal lands, we don't have the authority to enforce or permit.
Exactly what the company, called CGG, intends is not clear, though its website says its services include electromagnetic imaging from airplanes and helicopters. The company did not respond to an email yesterday, and the Interior Department did not provide CGG's notice of intent. But clues emerge in a letter to CGG that Interior's Bureau of Land Management wrote in April. BLM's letter advises the company that caribou are often having calves in the refuge during the season CGG proposes work. The letter also says low-flying aircraft can cause caribou and polar bears to flee. Wachowski says the Fish and Wildlife Service recommended CGG get advance authorization to disturb a certain number of polar bears.
It was a recommendation, not a requirement. We can't require people to seek an incidental harassment authorization.
Murkowski says the company will still be required to act responsibly, and the government will enforce the law against any irresponsible actions. Trustees for Alaska and other environmental groups wrote a letter objecting to the survey. Attorney Bridget Passerianos at Trustees says the work likely involves a substantial number of flights at altitudes as low as 500 feet.
We have reason to believe that the level of activity we're looking at here is at a higher intensity than the other activities and flights that are more commonly done in the refuge, like recreational flights, scientific research studies.
Passerianos says the lack of transparency is also a problem. Murkowski says he doesn't know whether CGG will begin its survey this year. Police say an Indiana man arrested on federal child porn charges is connected to a shooting death of an Anchorage teenager earlier this month. 19-year-old Cynthia Hoffman was found bound and shot to death in a river north of Anchorage. According to charging documents filed in the case, 16-year-old Caden McIntosh pulled the trigger. He's charged with first-degree murder along with 18-year-old Denali Bremer and 19-year-old Caleb Leland. Leland allegedly provided a car for what the charges describe as a plot to kill Hoffman. According to the state charges, McIntosh and Bremer told detectives Hoffman had agreed to be duct taped so they could take pictures, but Hoffman started to panic and threatened to report the other two for kidnapping and sexual assault. According to charges against Bremer, she admitted to handing McIntosh a handgun and telling him to shoot Hoffman. As part of their investigation, detectives seized Bremer's cell phone. Now, according to charges unsealed Monday in federal court, investigators say they found graphic images of child pornography. The charges say Bremer had been texting a 21-year-old Indiana resident named Darren Schillmiller in the days around Hoffman's death. The court documents include transcripts of messages between the two in which Schillmiller directed her to take sexually explicit photos of two minor victims, as well as record videos of sexual abuse to send to him. In one message included in the charges, Schillmiller seems to threaten Bremer, writing that he would tell the police he had made Bremer rape people and kill Hoffman. Federal authorities in Indiana arrested Schillmiller on Monday. A spokesperson for the U.S. Attorney's Office says Schillmiller will be extradited to Alaska to face the charges and that more charges may be forthcoming in the investigation as it continues. Anchorage police described Schillmiller as a person of interest in Hoffman's homicide in a short written statement Tuesday. The Anchorage Police Department did not respond to a request for comment. A man was attacked by what he said was a bear in Naknek around midnight Saturday. The man told state wildlife troopers he'd been sleeping in the back of his car with the door open at a boatyard when he was pulled from the vehicle by what he first told responders was a bear. First responders met the man nearby and transported him to the Chamai Clinic in Naknek before being flown to Anchorage for further medical care. He was able to fend off the animal but sustained injuries to his lower left leg. His personal details have not been released. In tech news, Facebook is launching an app that will pay users to share information with the social media giant about which apps they're using. The company previously rolled out two similar apps, but both were shut down after drawing criticism for infringing on privacy, and one was cited for violating Apple's App Store terms of agreement. Facebook says the new app, called Study, is different than the previous two, and it's only available on the Google Play Store. Facebook says the new app will collect information about which apps people are using and for how long. It will not track passwords. But some privacy experts are concerned users will still not know exactly what information they're sending. Facebook is not saying how much it will pay participants to share their information. You may recognize that accordion from this year's Alaska Folk Festival guest artists, Los Tex Maniacs. The Grammy Award-winning Cajunto band dropped by KTOO to record their songs Soy de San Luis and Mexico Americano. Was recorded in collaboration with Justin Smith of Rusty Recordings in Gustavus. Video version is part of our Red Carpet Concert Series, an ongoing music video project by KTOO Public Media. You can watch the video version of this and other Red Carpet Concerts at ktoo.org. So Finally, taking a look at the Juneau-Boro and Northern Admiralty Island weather forecast. Tonight, rain, lows around 50. Wednesday, rain, highs around 60. That's the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, June 11th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea.